Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway, brings you Conversation Radio here on Green 960 KKGN every Saturday at 5.
Why don't we have universal health care? Why haven't we attacked what is clearly a huge crisis for America and the world, which is global warming? Why haven't we done anything serious about poverty in America and about the extraordinary inequality that exists in this country? I mean, the list goes on and on. Why have those things not been accomplished?
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you to The Joan Kenley Show, bringing you Conversation Radio, where talking really matters. Today, our program is about Senator John Edwards' bid for president. Why just this one candidate? Well, I find that there's so much media focus on what many consider the top two Democrats in this race that I feel responsible for sharing more broadcast time about a strong, electable contender. Edwards firmly believes we can reclaim our government and reclaim the promise of America for our children by enacting his plan to build One America, 80 pages that outlines what he calls his bold solutions for real change. And by the way, anyone can find this document on the internet. We'll be talking about Edwards' views on healthcare, ending the war in Iraq, the global warming crisis, and restoring America's reputation throughout the world, and, of course, much more. Joining me here in the studio for this conversation are two outstanding guests. Welcome to State Senator Leland Yee and Nina Horn. Senator Yee, after serving 4 years in the California State Assembly, was elected to the State Senate in 2006 with over 78% of the vote, the largest percentage ever for any Democrat with a Republican challenger. So hooray for that. He represents District 8, which includes San Francisco and San Mateo County. And he is also a member of the Senate Democratic Leadership as the Assistant President Pro Tem. And we have Nina Horn. She is City Commissioner for the Oakland Fund for Children and Youth and is co-founder of the Win the White House in 08 Initiative, one we've talked about on the radio here before. It's a regional group of community and business leaders convened to alter the split between fundraising and campaign organizing. Nina is currently, among many other things, pursuing her master's in public policy at the Goldman School of Public Policy at the University of California in Berkeley. So welcome to both of you. I'd like to start off the conversation with the subject of healthcare, important to all of us. And it's so shocking to acknowledge that 47 million Americans, including 9 million children, are without healthcare coverage. And all of us know that this country is way overdue for a universal program that will work. Christoph of the New York Times said that more than any of the presidential candidates, John Edwards has come up with a specific and plausible plan to provide health care coverage for all Americans. And Senator Edward Kennedy asserts that John Edwards has made a serious and thoughtful proposal to address the growing health care crisis. And his innovative plan offers practical steps to lower the high cost of health care, which is crushing so many people. And he has a plan to improve the quality of care and provide coverage for all Americans. Let's start off with any thoughts about why some of Edwards' universal health care plans really are the best for our country.
Well, I believe that John has done a remarkable job because he's making a statement that says every American deserves health care. And to me, that is so meaningful. If we look at the current situation in America, there are two main problems. We have almost 1 in 6 Americans who do not have health care at all. And for the 5 out of 6 Americans who do have health care, the costs have risen dramatically in recent years to the point where many people, even with health care coverage, believe that they have to make choices between purchasing drugs or paying rent or buying food.
And a lot of people who think they're covered aren't covered.
That's another main issue, that when you get into the details of the coverage, you identify many areas where there are just completely lacking in specifics on coverage.
And people are losing their houses.
It's a dramatic problem, and it's one that needs to be addressed. And We cannot address it in an incremental fashion. For John to be able to say that every American deserves to be covered speaks to me that he realizes we all deserve the dignity of a reasonable life, that we all deserve to share the dignities and the benefits of living in one of the richest countries in the world and a country that is prospering.
And it's a country that's so divided. I mean, we have the haves and the have-nots, and nobody seems to be addressing that issue as well as John is and really focusing on poverty as well as the health care issues. You know, they sometimes go hand in hand here because of the cost of health care.
Absolutely. And so for me, this is really why I initially decided to back John when I had the opportunity to spend time with him earlier this year under the initiative of Win the White House 08. It was very apparent to a large group of us that he not only spoke in very specific detail, but he went to the core of what many of us are feeling, that there is a dramatic divergence between the haves and the have-nots. I'm not certain if either of you all have been reading what Paul Krugman has been saying, but I was able to be with him several weeks ago. He believes that the natural state of America is the robber baron period, where there are people of great wealth and people of great poverty, and that over the last 140 years, that's been primarily how we've been operating, and that the changes that were brought about through the New Deal and making many more benefits available to a wider range of people certainly has improved our country. And so we recognize there's a huge difference between the haves and the have-nots, and it speaks to me remarkably. Leland, you were speaking of this before, before the show began.
One of the things that is extremely important about John Edwards' proposal, healthcare proposal, is that he truly means shared responsibility across the board. He's not letting any of the insurance folks off the table on this particular issue. It's pretty clear that if we are going to have a universal healthcare, the insurance have to come to the table and help with this particular solution. And given all the things that John has done in the past, he's going to make sure that the insurance corporations are going to pay their fair share, and that's really important. One of the things that I've seen among all the different candidates is that they have different positions, and let's be honest, many of the positions are not all that far different from one another. And so you begin to then look at the core values of different candidates. And one of the things that I find so compelling about John is that, he is very, very brutal and honest about his assessment of America. And it's an America that I think all of us see, that this is a country that is extremely divided, divided on the war, divided on healthcare, on economics, on education. The haves and haves not, as you talked about, Joan, is more dramatic than ever before. When I am in the Capitol, I hear about moms coming to us and saying that they need health care because it's between providing some health care for their kids or paying their rent. And those are not decisions that any mom should have to make. And so
it's tragic. I mean, in a country like ours, where we are supposed to be a shining example, and then in the movie Sicko, of course, if everybody has seen that, the Michael Moore film about the health care that's available in France and the health care that's available at Guantanamo for the prisoners. And the people who volunteered at the World Trade Center, and I capitalize that word V for volunteered, of their own free goodwill and good nature, they are suffering terribly from the after effects of breathing in the terrible pollution that was down there, and they cannot get coverage and they cannot get health care in New York City for what's going on with their health problems. So Michael Moore takes a bunch of them down to Guantanamo and yells on the bullhorn, I've got Americans here who need health care, and I understand that you've got great health care here. Can we come aboard? And that is so shocking, but brings this point home. And I know that in England, they have a certain socialized medicine that does work in many ways and not others, and in France, the same way. But why not have our system be the best universal healthcare system? And I think that's what John is after.
Well, what's important about John is the consistency of his values, the consistency of his position. When he first ran, he talked about two America.
And yes, he did.
He has not deviated from that particular message. He's not one of those candidates that kind of sticks his finger in the political wind and see what's more popular, what's important, and then kind of go with that. You know, he has a set of core values that talks about that to America. And now in this campaign, he's constantly referring to the fact that given the fact that we have two America, we need to bring everybody together as one America. And for any of us who really cares about this country, we've got to speak with one voice. We've got to speak with one people, as one people, because this country is falling apart. And John Edwards is the only candidate I know that speaks about, you know, how do we bring it all together?
Absolutely.
Well, one thing that really is raised in terms of how we deal with this healthcare issue is that John has a detailed plan that actually is reasonable in terms of paying for this. There have been other plans floated where people are trying to pay for it through improving efficiency. And given the amount of changes that are required in implementing lower prices for drugs and extending coverage to people, he is the only one who's actually proposing details on how to make pay for those costs.
His mind works like that. He's a detailed person. And when I've heard him speak, when I've gone to the various events where he has spoken here in San Francisco, I've watched this man get on fire more and more each time he's been in the Bay Area. And he is so on target about what he says he's going to do. And I loved it. The last time I saw him, he said, "If, when I'm president, in 2009, in July, if you don't have universal health care in this country, I will take away the health care of Congress and my cabinet if they don't pass a universal health care law." So he means it.
When you think that the last time we had a national discussion about this was in 1993, and it's now 2007, and we still made no progress, it's dismaying.
Yes, it is. Well, we have hope in our hearts. And the question on our minds is also, how can we repair the reputation of our country abroad? And how are we going to even be hopeful in this country unless we have a new administration? It is sad to think that it will take maybe 15 or 20 years to repair some of the damage that has been done in the last 8 years. And so we have to have hope, but we have to have vigor about it. And the senator said in a recent speech that our nation now stands at the pinnacle of its power, not necessarily its reputation, but it also faces serious challenges. We must do everything to reclaim the United States' historic role as a beacon for the world and become once again a shining example for other nations. I should hope so. So stay tuned for what our guest will be saying about what Edwards has in mind. We'll be right back.
You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show, right here on Green 960 AM, KKGN. What's not to love about the Joan Kenley Show, where talking truly matters, here on 960 KKGN.
Welcome back. I'm Joan Kenley, and you're listening to the Joan Kenley Show. We're having a conversation today about Senator John Edwards and what he could bring to the Oval Office. We want to talk about repairing our damaged reputation around the globe and address the state of despair and dissatisfaction many people are feeling here at home. Edwards has strongly stated that our Latin American policy is either disengaged or bullying. He wants to make diplomacy our first action in every conflict by extending a hand and not a fist. The senator would like to see primary school available to 100 million kids in Africa. He has so many great ideas, and we're going to cover many of them by talking today with the city commissioner for the Oakland Fund for Children and Youth, Nina Horn, and California State Senator Leland Yee, who has one of the best track records for getting his bills passed and signed into law. And we're looking to our guests for their excellent input about how Edwards views some of these important matters here and abroad. So, Nina, why don't you start off with some of the things that you have been talking to us about in the break?
Well, I feel so moved by John's recognition that America's position in the world has been diminished because of the policies that we've put in place regarding our national security. He speaks very clearly to the fact that America is no longer the moral leader of the world. And what a lost opportunity for us, given our economic strength, the position that we have in global relations, and the importance of going forward, ensuring that we have a stable and secure position in the global environment. He speaks so meaningfully to the fact that the number of issues that we've dealt with recently with the Iraq war, with the terrorist concerns, with the abuses of human rights that we ourselves have issued in Guantanamo Bay, he shows that we have lost our way and that we need to improve what we are doing in order to recapture that leadership. So he says our solution is diplomacy. Use a carrot, not a stick.
You bet.
And so we've been using a stick a lot in the last 7 years. We have so many carrots available to us.
Isn't that a great way to picture it?
Yes, we have carrots not only of diplomacy, but of economic development. And the dollar still speaks very clearly around the world. If we could help support a number of initiatives, such as his suggestion in Africa of extending very greatly the educational support in Africa, or ensuring greater economic prosperity in Russia as they move through this very troubled time in democracy.
Oh, it's a really troubled time. We visited Russia a couple of years ago, and when we talked to people on the street, they were very concerned about Putin and where their country was going. It was all cleaned up in St. Petersburg for the 300th anniversary. It looked like it couldn't have been lovelier, but behind the scenes, people were getting robbed and there were gangs on the streets, and it's a very divided country and very divided city, as a matter of fact. Moscow, I've heard terrible stories about what's happening on the streets of Moscow, but there's the good and the bad. And we need to watch what's happening with the Putin government, for sure.
Well, I do believe that there's a lot of hope in the world.
Yes.
In recent months, I've had the opportunity to speak with intelligence, senior officials in the intelligence community, senior officials in the State Department, and even officials from other countries. And the world sees America in a time of change. They recognize that there have been a number of issues that we have implemented that the American population did not support. And they believe that America will go back to its original good deeds very shortly. And we look forward to Edwards doing that.
The current administration, the Bush administration's foreign policy, harkens back to when I was in college and they were talking about the gunboat policy.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a policy that you can execute in the 21st century.
No.
The kinds of aggressive foreign policy that is demonstrated by the Bush administration has time and time again come up short. I think I remember several months ago, the president met with the president of China to try to get some concessions on economic and human rights, and he couldn't get one piece of concession whatsoever.
Not at all.
Here, the most powerful country could not, in fact, extract anything out of the president of China, and that's a sad state of affair. I think that what John Edwards has constantly talked about is that we need a new paradigm of foreign relations, and that is of diplomacy. We've got to deal with Iran, and we've got to deal with Iraq and Africa and other sensitive parts of this country in a diplomatic fashion. Where we need to be strong, we'll be strong. But you've got to somehow have relationships with some of these foreign countries. If not, then you're going to end up being so divisive to the point where you constantly are talking about war. And those are just not things that's going to be fruitful whatsoever.
Well, we're going to have global relationship as we move through the 21st century. You can't just have isolated countries. And with the media and the internet, we're all one big family, but we're not a happy family. And we have created all kinds of conflicts inside our minds and our hearts about other countries and other people, and they about us. And it's only through diplomacy, shaking hands across the table and letting other people know who we are, and vice versa.
And I think the American people see that. When pollsters ask the greatest concerns that the American people have on their minds as they enter this new election cycle, national security in Iraq are high on the list, not the highest, but number three and number eight on the list. And John recognizes that people want concrete plans for solutions. The fact that he's been very aggressive about putting forth a plan that is against common knowledge, but yet very detailed, is something that gives me great hope about his presidency. He suggests that we need to begin an immediate withdrawal of 40 to 50,000 troops.
Which we'll get to when we're talking about Iraq in another segment.
Good.
One of the pluses about John is that, you know, he understands the topic. In regard to Darfur, you know, he clearly understands the different elements within that particular controversy and that genocide. And he knows that we've got to address that issue more clearly. We've got to hold the current government a lot more accountable about the genocide that's going on. In other areas, in other hotspots in this world, you know, John understands the dynamics. He's not going to have a Secretary of State, a Secretary of Defense dictating to him what's going to happen. He's going to take that leadership and he's going to then execute the policy, and it's up to his secretaries to implement those particular policies.
Which I think is so true. And, you know, you're going to China, I believe, in just a short while. And I wanted to bring up the disturbing news about China that we face almost weekly. Senator Edwards strongly states that we must be aware that China holds a significant amount of American debt, for instance. And there's a huge human rights abuse going on in China. And think of what's been going on recently. Bad dog food in our country from China, unsafe toothpaste, lead paint on many products, unsafe tires. I mean, the list just goes on. So Edward strongly confirms that the trade safety issues here are enormous and asks, what about 2 million toys that have come into the U.S. and had to be recalled? How about the fact that we don't have real country of origin labeling that the U.S. actually enforces so that the American people know what they're buying? Where is it coming from? He says we should have a president who enforces country of origin labeling, and we should have a consumer product safety commission that's not looking out for a multinational corporation, but looking out for the safety of our children in America.
With globalization, we're finding that we are, in fact, opening up greater and greater numbers of markets throughout the world. At the same time, we need to be very protective of our own economy. And I think that's where the current administration has fell short. That on the one hand, you have helped corporations and businesses profit from that globalization, but at the same time, the consumers and the workers are losing their job. They're getting tainted materials. They're getting tainted food. And we're not doing enough to protect our markets here.
Why isn't China putting these safeguards in? Why do you think that they're feeling that they can get away with sending products like this out into the marketplace? It's not just to us. It's everywhere in the world. Why do they think they can get away with it, or that it's even morally responsible to do this?
You have an administration who basically doesn't care about the consumers. You don't care about the workers. You just simply care about corporation making money. So can get more and more products made in China coming into the United States, that's just going to help a corporation in terms of selling more product, cheaper product, but dangerous product. And our concern here in the United States should be about our consumers and our workers.
And safety all the way around.
Well, and I believe this is where the American people have a very strong voice. We have certain expectations about the kinds of products that we're going to have. And so I believe that this is completely reasonable that a country that's never had these expectations before will go through what is essentially a very ugly period as they begin to meet the standards of an industrialized nation.
Right.
And so
they've grown so fast.
Right. And we want them to be strong. We want them,
sure,
the transparency of operating in an economy like ours that requires manufacturers to meet new standards. And so the regulatory environment in our country is such that they will begin to. It's just going to look ugly for a short while, but we need the American people to continue to speak out and demand those standards in light of ensuring corporate profitability while maintaining protection for the Americans.
I think that's what John Edwards comments mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. The two America, becoming one America, becomes so important that you have a president that is not going to look at profits at the expense of workers and consumers, that will let you make those profits, but you've got to then ensure that you're not going to have dangerous products, you're not
going to
somehow lose your job by having all these products come into the United States. John Edwards talks about, you know, how you're going to be a responsible country by ensuring that not just one segment's going to have a lot of money and jobs, but everybody's going to have money and jobs.
That's the way we want to see it. Well, it's important to include Senator Edwards' plans for dealing with the Iraq war. We all know that he wants to bring the troops home and engage all nations in the region in reaching a political solution. After a short break, we'll get into the whole conversation about Iraq. So keep listening. We'll keep talking.
The Joan Kenley Show. Talk radio your way on 960 KKGN. Dr. Joan Kenley, taking talk radio to the next level on Green 960 AM, KKGN.
We're going to make this democracy work for everybody, not just for the few. How to accomplish that? One, use the bully pulpit to convince Americans that we have to reduce the influence of strong lobbying in Washington, which means stopping the revolving door. Second, we have to reduce their money influence. I'm talking about lobbyists now. Third, we need to publicly finance all our campaigns. That's the hardest lift. But we have to convince America that if we really want to take your democracy back, we got to reduce the influence of money. But those things are they're part of the pillars underneath the big concept. And the big overarching concept is we got to make America's government work for everybody. America belongs to us. It does not belong to the few. It belongs to everybody.
Welcome back to the Joan Kenley Show. I'm Joan Kenley, and we are about to delve into an important conversation with Nina Horn and State Senator Leland Yee. Nina, in addition to her work as a regional and national fundraiser, founded and directed a group called Republicans for Kerry, which organized voter outreach activities in six states during the 2004 election. Good for her. Her work as a management consultant follows a career as an academic publisher for the two largest global educational publishers. And Senator Leland Yee, during his tenure in the legislature, has fought for children, mental health services, working families, open government, consumer protection, the environment, and civil rights. And he has been named Legislator of the Year by many organizations. Bravo. So let's get to the subject of Iraq and John Edwards. Edwards opposed President Bush's surge and supports immediately withdrawing 40 to 50,000 combat troops, and I think we do know that. Edwards says there is no military solution to this chaos in Iraq. Instead, the Iraqi people must solve the problem politically by taking responsibility for their country. By leaving Iraq, America will prompt the Iraqi people, regional powers, and the entire international community to find the solution that will end the sectarian violence and create a stable Iraq. We must show the Iraqis that we are serious about leaving by actually starting to leave with an immediate withdrawal of these troops that I've mentioned here and a complete withdrawal within 9 to 10 months. And he says we should leave behind in Iraq only a brigade of 3,500 to 5,000 troops to protect the embassy and possibly a few hundred troops to guard humanitarian workers. So how does that plan sound to you all?
I think that's the absolutely right direction. We cannot solve the Iraq situation militarily. I think we have learned that. I've learned that. I know that because of my experience in Vietnam. And so we've got to understand that this is an internal conflict, and the way in which the Bush administration militarily and then to isolate certain segment of the Iraqi community in trying to solve this issue is just foolhardy. We've got to get out of Iraq. We've got to then engage with all factions within the Iraq community to try to address this particular problem. And that's the only way we're going to find a solution.
Right, because all this fighting could go on for years and years and years, and we'd still be in a mess over there. And that is not the idea that we want.
Well, I think the issue is, how do we help stop the violence immediately, and then how do we begin supporting the development of political and economic stability in a completely destroyed country?
Yes.
You know, there has been some feedback, early feedback, that there is a significant decrease in violence because of the surge that was put in place. And there's been concern within the political environment in the United States that what does this mean for the Democrats, and does this position us in a weaker position for moving into the November elections. But I think we need to keep the American people focused on the fact that we have created this mess, we need to end it immediately, and we need to allow the Iraqis to rebuild their country by creating a wider community of support with other countries surrounding that region.
Now, I think this idea is a good one, but I guess my rational mind goes to, how can people who have never worked together before historically in this region, these three groups of people who don't like each other, how can we bring them to the table so that there will be a unified political direction for them to go? I know that it's not an easy answer, but I know that there, if you give up, then there's no solution either.
That's why John Edwards' presidency is so critical and so important. He is looking at diplomatic solutions. He is not going to come in there and threaten this group, threaten that group,
right,
or side with one group versus another. It is clear to him that we've got to engage in a diplomatic discussion with all different factions. And for a president to be seen as not playing favorites to the Kurds or against the Kurds, or, but rather to look at how all the different elements within that Iraqi community needs to be at the table, having a leader or having a facilitator of the stature of John Edwards is going to help bring that solution together.
So that it's a win for everybody at the table.
And that we ensure that there's national security and peace within the region. He recognizes that there are certain very hot buttons, such as what's the idea of surrounding permanent bases in Iraq. And he prohibits that idea. He believes that that would not lead to stabilization and would continue the distrust amongst governments. And so his proposal to create quick reaction forces outside of Iraq will ensure that we can help maintain stability in that region without inserting our forces within the country of Iraq, which would continue to fester such distrust between the countries.
Sure it would.
We do want to ensure that we have strong national security, and I believe that his plan will provide for that.
Well, frankly, the last time John was in San Francisco, he had such a fire in his belly about what he wanted to do on so many levels. And when you picture this man, the way he was here in front of people at a table in Iraq trying to help people do the right thing, you know you've got a leader with passion and purpose that could really enrich the situation because of his strong moral beliefs and because he wants to do the right thing. There's some electricity that goes with that that you cannot buy anywhere. It's either in the person or it isn't.
And he can speak forcefully on what he believes because you can see that it comes from his core of belief that there are fundamental issues wrong with this country.
Part of the fire and the purpose is that John Edwards is not a president that is hands-off. He
right.
studies the issue, he
yes.
understands the issue, and then comes with a very clear plan, be it the health care, be it Iraq, be it poverty, be it education. He has a specific plan far beyond any of the other candidates, but most importantly, because he develops those plans. He works on those plans, he studies it, and he understands it. And that's where the fire and the passion comes from, because he knows that this is, after all the study, the right thing to do, and by golly, he's going to go do it.
Now, I hear that, and I also see when I'm in his presence an intelligence at work. When people ask spontaneous questions, there is not a moment's hesitation about what his answers are and what his plan is and what the strategy is. He doesn't go fishing for his answers. He is a well-rehearsed, well-thought-out person who can spontaneously speak in any kind of situation, and he does it all day long. He has the strength and the vitality along with the purpose and the passion.
Well, he has certainly motivated a large number of people. The group that I co-founded, the Win the White House 08, many people were so impressed by his presence and his conviction, and it was remarkable. We formed our own caucus over a three-month period after examining each individual candidate and inviting each major Democratic presidential candidate to come speak to us directly. And after we had the opportunity to assess their records and the detailed platforms of each of those candidates, we decided to hold a caucus. We ended up voting for three delegates for Edwards and two for Obama. And so many people within that group who are very experienced politically felt that he had the ability to win this election because of the fire and the passion and the detailed plan for solutions.
Well, Jeff Anderson and Jeff Sukup, who are major players in the Win the White House 08 initiative, are friends of mine and invited me to some of the events. And I was frankly so interested in how the group collects around which candidate they want. And it's a very thoughtful process. And it is very inspiring to see the conversations that come out of these meetings. And they're, of course, strong supporters of Edwards and can speak very articulately as well about why Edwards should be the candidate and the next president.
Well, and that's one of the major issues that we were dealing with, is recognizing how people make decisions about who they're going to support. And we were very fortunate to be able to meet the candidates personally. But of course, very few people can do that. It's important for me to get the message out about Edwards, because when people meet him personally, they see that he has that conviction. And we also recognize that many people vote according to who they think other people think will win. And so the fact that there's been a focus on two candidates instead of a wider range of candidates has been a concern.
Well, of course it has been a concern. And yet I think Edwards has done some very smart strategy by focusing on Iowa. And he's been in all 99 counties twice. And he really does take a position that he can win in Iowa. And we know if the person that wins in Iowa can create enough steam to get into New Hampshire quickly, because it's only 5 days later, I believe, that the New Hampshire vote is going to take place, that we are really watching a new kind of primary this year with the difference in dates for all the primaries. And here in California, we'll have ours in February, which seems like a very long time after the January hoo-ha that's going on. But it's days away. We are now days away from knowing what's going to happen in Iowa. And people on the political news show saying that people are going to be on their tiptoes in Iowa, wondering just what's going to happen the night of the event. And many Californians are going to Iowa to be there and to be witness to what's happening. And we do have to take a short break, but do hear these words from Edwards. We don't need debate. We don't need non-binding resolutions. We need to end this war in Iraq, since we're closing the segment on Iraq. In order to get the Iraqi people to take responsibility for their country, we must show them that we are serious about leaving. And the best way to do that is to actually start leaving. So do stay tuned.
Ready for more? Dr. Joan Kenley continues in a moment on Green 960 KKGN. Log on to joankenley.com, that's K-E-N-L-E-Y, to learn more and listen to archived shows. Invite your friends and family to listen to The Joan Kenley Show, online or on 960 KKGN, every Saturday at 5.
I'm Joan Kenley, and you're back with The Joan Kenley Show. We're talking about John Edwards' bold solutions for real change. We're continuing the conversation with Senator Leland Yee and Nina Horn, and turning now to the subject of the environment. The United States is 4% of the world's population, yet we emit 25% of the world's greenhouse gases. We're a terrible example. We're the worst polluter on the planet, but China is indeed catching up to us. Senator Edwards has said, "Our generation must be the one that halts global warming." We so agree with that. And if we don't act now, he says, it will be too late. Our generation must be the one that says yes to alternative, renewable fuels and ends forever our dependence on foreign oil. Amen to that. Our generation must be the one that accepts responsibility for conserving natural resources and demands the tools to do it. Our generation must be the one that builds the new energy economy. The senator recognizes it won't be easy, we know that, but he says it's time to ask the American people to be patriotic about something other than war. I do love that comment. And by the year 2050, we ought to reduce greenhouse emissions by at least 80%. We need to make an investment in wind, solar, and cellulose-based biofuels with no liquefied coal, because the last thing we need is another carbon-based fuel in America. In fact, the League of Conservation Voters, which has not yet endorsed a candidate for president, describes Edwards' ideas as the most comprehensive global warming plan of any presidential candidate to date, a very important endorsement. So, what do you think, Senator Yee, about Edwards' ideas for saving the environmental crisis?
Part of the reason why the League of Conservation Voters rate Senator Edwards so high is because he's been extremely thoughtful and analytical about this particular problem. He has made it very, very clear that we do have to, in fact, wean ourselves, you know, out of fossil fuel, that we've got to look at alternatives. One of the newest ideas that he has had, that he has talked about, is the use of hydrogen, and to look at how we can, in fact, capitalize a lot more and invest a lot more in that particular arena. I think his cap and trade, where he's basically saying to different industries and different government entities that you've got to then cap some of your emissions, the goals that you've talked about, is absolutely true. You know, he's got to do something about that. But he's also being realistic that if you are going to go and look at some additional emissions and so on, he's giving you some kind of escape valve to deal with trading on some of those caps. But clearly, we've got to bring the issue of our emission under control because of the tremendous effect that it has on our environment, our air quality, and on again.
And our survival.
Right. One that last point that I would raise is the fact that, again, he understands that our environment is just not about what is it that we do in this country, but reaching out to other countries and dealing with China and dealing with others that have tremendous environmental effect. Having those countries understand the importance of containing some of their emissions and their air quality so that it does not, in fact, pollute other countries. And those are extremely important diplomatic engagement that he has to have.
Absolutely. It's one world, one effort.
Well, what I appreciate about Edwards' plan is the fact that he recognizes that these changes must be made, but he's doing it within a structure that builds on our economy. He recognizes that the development of these alternative energy products can ensure productivity in the environment, but also helps bridge the gap between what we do now and what we need to do going forward. The fact that he offers up $1 billion investment in the auto industry, which is one of the main drivers of our economy, to help bridge the way to a new way of doing business is so innovative and helps us ensure economic stability for the country.
Well, I think John Edwards also talks about looking at a different energy economy, a green energy economy, and that can be such an explosive boon to the United States. When I was in Taiwan 6 months ago, the kinds of solar technology that they are looking at is constantly changing. And in the United States, our solar technology is also changing. So something that we talked about 5 years ago, that's changing. And we need to capitalize on that particular market and that particular technology to help bridge our weaning off of a fossil fuel technology based economy.
Well, I think so many Americans are have ignited their passions with this idea that we have to do something for the environment. And Edwards' plan to create the Green Corps so that idealistic Americans can get involved with actually making change in a structured environment is so compelling. People want to participate in making a change for this world, and to be able to give them a way to channel those energies is really important for
America. Well, how would people get involved in the Green Corps? Do you know that?
I know that his plan is simply to create something along the lines of Kennedy's America Corps, which is the environmental service group that will allow individuals to help fight climate change on an individual basis. And so I look forward to getting more details about how this will play out. It's a great opportunity.
Well, I would say that the fact that Edwards has this 80-page document that you can find on the internet, there's lots of details there that are worth reading. And in fact, to know about candidates, It's important, yes, to watch the debates. It's important to watch the news. But it's more important to read their policies and to talk with people who have met the candidates or know a lot about them. Just meeting Elizabeth Edwards, for instance, and reading her book gives you such an insight to the personhood of this candidate and how inspiring their relationship is. And you know, if you have a couple that support each other at the highest level of living, you know that they would want to reach out to the soul of America and give them their best effort too, because they have survived tragedy and they have survived illness and they have survived all kinds of challenges that make them stronger. And even in the last 4 years, what Elizabeth Edwards has had to go through with her health and her challenges. And some people say, well, why is he running for president if she's ill? And she told people right here in San Francisco, she said, do you want me to stay home and think I'm going to die? I feel good. My treatment is working. And where would I be but on the campaign trail with the man who must be president? She's great.
Well, I so appreciate what they've done to devote themselves to the country. And for those who question how a family in the middle of that crisis could make that decision, I simply ask that people who haven't been in that situation have no idea how they would respond.
Exactly.
And for those of us who have had that experience, knowing that you have a finite amount of time in the world really clarifies your choices. And you know that you have a finite amount of time to make a difference. And what a great way to change the world.
Oh, and when you know that people can inspire you, you trust them to take care of you.
Mm.
There's a sort of a sequence of events there because you feel like you know their heart and what's inside. And you've even said, Senator, that the moral values and the trust that you can put in this kind of candidate is significant. And when we think together here in this room about how other people who hear this program and who can suggest that others hear this program, because we are available on the internet 24/7 and on iTunes, we really want to spread the word. We also want to start more conversations. And if you have anything you want to email to us, you know, joan@joankenley.com will give us a chance to look at what your thoughts are on the Edwards presidency. And we have to say that I feel it's a privilege to have both of you here today to express your feelings in this situation, because I don't think that the media gives us a forum where roundtable conversations are the way we can explore our candidates' worth and value and strategies.
And I'm so glad that we can have this conversation. I also hope that this conversation inspires people to get involved and to make change. I love the idea that our conversation might be the topic at someone's dinner table, but I hope that the people who are listening get up from that dinner table
and do something.
And do something.
Yes.
And certainly now is the time to begin doing something. We have 12 months before the end of this cycle. And so after February will be the time when people can really get involved. There's so many ways to actually make things happen. We have the local party structures that people can become involved with, and alternate party structures such as the League of Women Voters.
Mm-hmm.
There are many available options on the website, and I simply ask you, don't just talk, please do.
Please do, and act often. In fact, MoveOn.org got very much involved in the last presidential campaign with meetups all across the Bay Area and the country. It was such a major shift for people to open their homes, have important conversations, and to get personally involved. When Joan Blades was on our show, I was glad to tell her directly how so many of us were in such admiration of the whole strategy of setting up this grassroots involvement.
What the John Edwards campaign speaks to me about is the hope for this country. As someone who kind of grew up in the 60s, we always wanted hope. And when I see on a daily basis the tragedy of this war, and what it's done to this country, not only because of the divisiveness of the war, but because we don't have the resources now to, you know, help clean up our environment, to bring equality in education, to bring jobs to many individuals that don't have, and healthcare, that finally you have a individual like John Edwards that speaks about, you know, how he's going to take us out of this tremendous sadness and bring some hope and expectation to us. And that's what's so important about this candidacy.
So everybody out there in listening land, be involved and Know your candidates and make your choice from the deepest part of your heart. And doing something is better than doing nothing, as they said in Lions for Lambs, which I just saw the other day. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. I'd like to say to everyone tuned in, thanks so much for listening. We want you to know that The Joan Kenley Show brings you conversation radio that's co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. You can find out more about today's subject and how to reach our guests on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y, where all our shows are archived and downloadable 24/7. Huge thanks go to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins and Christy Healy, and here in the studio, producer Havila Capellas and Daniel Fletcher, engineer and technical producer. Tune in next week, Saturday at 5 on Green 960.